asked Brother Jeremy if it's turned on. He says, it's now. And it is. Before I have an opening prayer, I want to tell you a couple of things that I would like to do today. And one is, most of you know that I keep track of most things that happen in the church. So I want to read a summary of 2010, some of the things that happened. And then I would like to read from God's word. How many of you read the sign when you drove in this morning? Okay, it quotes John 14:1, right? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. The last two sermons that we had in this from this pulpit, one exhorted the Word. The Word is a name. The name is Jesus Christ. It's the Word, capital W, if you remember. Last week, we were told about expectations, what Israel expected, what the angels and what the announcements all were, the expectations. Today, I want to talk about trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to preach on that text this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we just got through singing, Lord, that we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love, prone to forget, prone to neglect, prone to not realize what's the most important. And so as we make choices for this new year, Lord, help us to remember. Help us to remember that we were created by a God that loves us. Put in a place of your choice. Put here to glorify your name. But also, Lord, that we would be blessed, that our paths would be guided, that we would have the assurance that we belong to thee. And now as we would open thy word, and as we would open this time, Lord, open our hearts, we pray. Lord, may this year be the year that things go right between me and the Creator that made me. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. And we do it with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. Incidentally, the text that you helped me quote is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm not going to read that now, but you can open your Bible to it. I'm going to read the summary first. And if there are some things on this summary that are not correct, I'm going to ask you to come and tell me so that I would correct it. Because, you know, even computers come with delete keys. So don't be afraid to, you know, the delete works pretty good. And some, you know, if everything else fails, sometimes delete works. Summary 2010. Levi, there you are. You know, when you announced a little while ago that, Lord willing, God is going to bless you with a little boy, I said, you know, you're not supposed to be at the pulpit and act like this, but you understand. Because we didn't have any births in 2010. There were no babies born. But Lord willing, there will be at least two that I'm aware, or maybe three that I suspect And you know, so if you have a boy, we're going to be thankful for those of you that are going to have girls. You know, it works together. It does. I'm glad. Baptisms, Wesley, January 17th, you were baptized. And thank God for that. Where are you, Wesley? There you are, hiding. Not really hiding. I can still see you. God has special plans for men. Young men that sit in this audience this morning, you're making major decisions at the beginning of the year. We'll talk about that a little later on. But God has a plan, and we're thankful for that. There are a couple of other baptisms that affected our family. One was in Richland, Washington. The other one at Worcester that some of you don't know. The second enjoyable thing that I really enjoyed, and I'm looking for Stacy. I saw you there, and I could tell she was grinning there. That's the second nice thing that happened this year. Your engagement announced on September the 5th. Am I right? Close enough, right? Doesn't matter. Okay, great. Engagement. Weddings. We didn't have any. We had one that affected the church family in the Kopchak, Sister Katrina. Her son got married on September the 14th. Deaths. Brother John Jiven is the only one that I know of our membership that died this past year. There were others that had happened, including this past week. Brother Eric's dad, Sister Maria Sprain's mother early in February, and of course, but other than that, only Brother John of our church. The other thing that I really wanted to compliment, wanted to mention, a number of you that have come to join our church and you gave your testimonies, and among those were John and Lorraine Jiven, Chuck and Pauline Flanagan, Dan and Sherry Kroslak, Matt and Priscilla Palish, Dan and Annette Simon, and in December 12th, Jessica Kroslak. And we're so delighted that that God has brought you, that together we can serve the Lord better than any of us can separately serve Him. We can do that also, and we will count on your prayers and on your participation as we link arms to serve our Lord. Impact. The impact, and Brother Paul, you were instrumental in this. Impact. The outreach ministry, individuals making a personal and community transformation. March 20th was the first contact we made with a Four family that has been here since. March 24th, we made contact with the Bennett family, and I'm not sure that they were ever here. But then on April 3rd, we delivered some items to them. I know on August 14th, when we had our chicken barbecue, that some of those people came. And I know that the church sent out a number of invitations for a free dinner. And some of those folks took advantage of it. I don't know how many. Brother Kurt probably does know that, but whoever it was, but we're glad for that. And I think it was a great thing, especially I was involved with the Four family, and when they were here, and Paul, you were too, it was just great to have them here and to be able to show them the love of Christ. It's a great thing. Brothers and sisters, since I'm one of the older people here, I'm going to take some liberties today. I'm going to say it this way. Should I die tonight? Should I? Or any one of us are here. How would you wish that your life would be recorded in the presence of God? Would you say, I'm sorry I didn't do as much as I could have, or I missed opportunities, or what could I have done to impact this world for God? What could I have done? I venture to say there is not a one of us sitting here today that could boast that we've done all we could when the opportunities came. Some of us have done better than others. But I would be embarrassed because I have missed some opportunities. I like also that on September 26th, we had the cider festival that we were a part of, and we're looking forward to some other things with the Girl Scouts and some other things that are being planned. Special events. January 1st, the GOTM missions team returned. And I'm going to read the names that were Alan, Stacy, Yovichon, Patty, and Brad Webble, Rob Bojanak, Philip Simon, Timothy Webble, and Danielle Webble were all down in South America, and that's, you came back just a year ago yesterday, on January 1st. Today is January the 2nd, and so we're going to go, well, not then April the 18th. I enjoyed the Central Christian Choir, the high school. I have a called concert choir with the varsity singers, Mr. Tim Hsu, their director. I enjoyed them, and I hope they come again. I think it was just really great that evening, and I hope that they enjoyed being here. August 14th, our 31st annual chicken barbecue, and the choristers were our guests for that. September 2nd, I don't know how many of you were privileged to go to Medina to have the see the Sermon on the Mount. Remember when he illustrated the horse? Remember the horse? Shake your head. Raise your hand if you. What was the lesson in that? What was the sermon about that? Somebody remember? I hear some whisperings. Learning? What was that? Sister Candy, one of the reasons we're having this sermon today is because of that, what happened. Learning to trust the Lord. This is a lifelong process. It isn't something we do once. Learning to trust. Kind of like sitting on that horse. That a horse constantly had to be reaffirmed to trust the owner, that he loved that horse. He would take care of it. So it didn't make any difference if the horse had no eyes. Remember? He would go and he would trust. Sermon on the Mount. September 26th, the Norton Cider Festival. October 16th, the CPR training with Brother Wilf Sharman. Cultivating, planning, reaping. And some of you that were here, you remember that. November 6th, ACCN Leadership Conference with Dr. David Brubaker, the Lessons on Conflict Resolutions. Okay. Many of you were not here. Some of us were. I think every person, especially in a leadership, ought to go to one of those sessions. Those of us that were there, the impact that man made by taking Acts 15 and Acts 8, or Acts 6, I think it is, and putting it together in a working order, how to resolve conflicts, relational conflicts, was absolutely great, I thought. And then December the 19th, our annual Christmas choir. Oh, I hope to live long enough to be a part of another one. I love that. I love the Hallelujah Chorus. I don't know how many of you were here then and stood up and sang, but I hope, I just enjoyed that so much. And so those are all of the things that I have written down that I thought impacted our church family. Some were good, some were better, and some were not so good. I chose to do the better ones. There are some things that happened that many of us have wept over, but we are thankful to God for what has happened. At this time, I want to switch to the sermon. When our brothers asked me to have today's message, I was asked also to include a summary of 2010, which we thank the Lord for. In Proverbs chapter 3, I'd like for us to open it if you haven't already. I want to read the first 12 verses. It is probably the finest or the best or the most excellent chapter in all of Proverbs in my thinking. When I read about it, I like what it says here. I like the fact that it is emphasizing God's word. Brothers and sisters, our brothers have encouraged us to read the Bible. Do you know why? You cannot obey God's word if you don't know it. You cannot do it if you don't know it. Because the important thing is we need to know God's word. That is wisdom. Another one of those words with a capital W, although it doesn't say it that way here. But that's a synonym for God's word is wisdom. Everything God does is wisdom. Wisdom comes out of love because you love somebody. You do the right things for them. That's wisdom. Wisdom is doing the right thing. A mom that knows how to take care of her family, how to do whatever, she's a wise woman. It doesn't make any difference if she's graduated from Harvard or from Copley or from Norton or not graduated at all. If she knows what to do, that's wisdom. And so God says, because I love you, you will see the things I do are good. It says here in chapter 3, let me read it now, okay, with all of that introduction. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even a father, the son in whom he delighteth, and so forth. I could read it all the way through, and it would be more of it, and maybe at the end we'll read a little bit more. Decisions. This morning, as Brother Levi opened up our Bible class, he prayed that God would give us tools and motivation to do his will. You know what the tool is? This is the tool. There's only one tool. There's only one tool that works all the time. It's God's word. Motivation is what we've been challenged to do. Those are choices. Motivation is a choice that you and I make every day. And I'm not going to ask you because I don't have the opportunity, but I would suspect that some of us sitting in this audience have made some resolutions at New Year. I know I have. Arlene and I have been reading through our Bible now for a number of years. We do it every morning. We enjoy it. It has made a large difference in our lives. We talk about it. We enjoy each other because we enjoy God's work together. We enjoy that. Look forward to it. Here it says, we've read here, forget not my law. Didn't we just sing a few moments ago that we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love? Because you know what we have? We have a lot of distractions in our world today. How many times have you sat at supper and the phone rang? Raise your hand. Almost all of us. Remember when we were growing up, what we used to say in our house when the phone rang? And we would be praying. I used to say, don't answer it. Satan is calling. I thought there was a satanic interruption when we were praying as a family that the phone would ring. And I don't care who was at the other end. Well, I do care, but you know what I mean. Just the ringing, just the interruption. Beloved, that's what it's all about. Interruptions. There isn't anything you can do without being interruption. You know, now you can't even... Some of you young people, please forgive me, but it bothers me. It bothers me when I come into, you know, there's three or four, and they're sitting in each corner and texting. I think that's what it's called, isn't it? Whatever, nexting or whatever. Nexting is worst thing, right? Point. Interruptions. All of us got to deal with them. And my brother and my sister, God has given us a mind. And don't let anyone rob that capacity of the mind that can say, no, now is my time with my God. I will concentrate upon His Word. I will take His Word and I will wrap it around and I'll hang it around my neck. Do you know what that means when He says here, hang it around your neck? That means you demonstrate openly what God is doing in your life. God's Word being in effect. You and I, we display the work of God on ourselves. And when it says you write it on the table of your heart, that means you internalize it. You take God's Word and you put it on the inside. And you write it on your heart where nobody else can read it. You can go and read it anytime you want to because you look into your own heart. And you can read God's Word and there it is. It's internalized. That's the symbolic picture that we have here. And what does it say? It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but take those things in mind. Let people see that you're truthful, that you're kind, that you're merciful, that you're godly. That's what it means. Those are decisions we make. That's a decision that is brought about by verse 1 that says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You see, my beloved, it's not an external thing. It's an internal thing. It's not an external thing. The external thing will show up. When I concentrate on God's Word, it will show up. Everybody will know it. Or they might not know it right away. But before you know it, they're going to know how you're different. You're kind. You're merciful. You're truthful. You're courteous. And they will know this because they will see it in my heart. It says here, my son, don't forget it. So I don't know what some of your resolutions may be, but let me say this. The sign on earth says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. That's where it needs to be. This world is going to take you for a ride. Young people, young men and young women, I look at you. I look at the potential that God has put into you. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. put it to use. Your head's been put on your shoulder, not for a hat rack. No, it contains the most precious thing you have, you and I have. It's this brain that God has given us that has the capacity to look at God's Word and make that choice and say, that's the way I will go. And we'll talk a little bit more about it when it talks about, and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, all of us, there's not a one of us that stands straight. We're leaning. Now, my kids already know that their father, sometimes I used to stand and I used to stand like this. I would lean this way. I would lean this way. Darla, I'm sure you remember that when you were growing up, I used to do that. There's not a one of us. We're either leaning one way or the other. It says here, lean not to your understanding. Lean on God. That's what it means. We're either leaning one way or we're leaning the other way. And I had a struggle like most do because God gave us good brains. You know, I hear every once in a while our grandchildren come home or others. I hear here at church and I hear them say, you know, he gets perfect A's. He gets a straight A's. Whew. I never got straight A's. I never got straight B's either. I was all over the map. You know, at recess, I always got A's. And so many other things I didn't. God gave us a good mind. Because in this mind, we make decisions for the Lord. And he says here, don't lean on your own understanding. One of the things I think is right for us to do, beloved, is to look back in the last year, all of us, regardless who we are, and say, recap your years, see what has happened. Are you pleased with where you are? Are you pleased with how things are going? You know, as we get older, we have more to look back to, and there's a lot more. Brother Steve and I were talking this morning, and as I look back into my own life, I can see failures going all the way back for over 70 years. I don't know about him. We didn't talk about that. Some of you don't have that many years behind you. Make the good choices. I didn't give my life to the Lord till I was 21 years old. I regret the day. I regret having sat through sermons. Morning after Sundays like this, I would sit there and I let the brothers preach their heart out. And I would go home and simply forget, seemingly. Best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing by far. Unequivocally, the best thing ever was when I repented and gave my life to the Lord. And I was baptized. I was 21 years old. And God added all kinds of good things to that life. One of which was my bride of 52, almost 53 years. You see, God's Word says that. And I learned it. And that's what it says here. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. You know, I wondered about this. Why does it say, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart? We have other places where it says, with your mind and your strength, love the Lord with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your resources, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that. Because the heart, in our heart, is where we make decisions. Today, excuse me, today, the scriptures say, if you hear his word, harden not your heart. Do you hear God's word today? And do I hear God's word today? I do. And with my whole heart, I'm not going to harden my heart. I'm going to let God soften my heart. Hard hearts, hard heads, hard people, hard neighbors, hard politicians, name it. Everything is hard because people have hard hearts towards God. So today, when we hear His Word, let's not harden our heart. When we study God's Word, when we read God's Word, let's do it immediately, not wait. Don't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. I would like the watchword to be, trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Young man, young woman, older, whoever we may be here, particularly if we have not given our life to the Lord. What's this year going to bring? What's this year going to bring? Wesley, you were baptized last year. Who will be baptized this year? As I look through across the audience, some of you need to be. Because you have no promise you will be here 1 year from today. No promise. You know what trust means? One of the description was trusting with all, putting your whole weight upon something. Let me illustrate this. And I'm going to illustrate this with Thomas. Thomas, you looked at me, you looked so intelligent a moment ago, and you had a little smile on your face, and I like that. But supposing that Thomas is going to walk home. And there's a bridge. When you go out to the end of our driving, you turn left across the bridge, and he says to himself, I can walk across here confidently. Nothing will happen. That is trust. But supposing you come to the bridge, and you go, put your one foot forward a little bit and say, is it going to hold or not? Is it going to hold? I don't know. That is lack of trust. Lack of trust means I don't trust. Whatever it is. And a bridge is a good illustration. These bridges are made for a truck. You know, as Thomas goes across, he tiptoes across, gets to the middle. Oh, whew, so far, I made it fine. Then it comes a 20-ton truck across here. You know, and it held him up. It held up the truck. So he walks the rest of the way. Right, Thomas? You'd say, it's foolish. What did I do? You see, it's foolish to trust anything but God, because God cannot fail. In fact, here it says, and He will direct thy path. You know what that means? When it says direct thy path, that means He is going to engineer and build a road, build a path for which you need to go. And there's only one way that you need to go. All of our paths are together to be brought into one path. And this is the path that Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If any man comes after me, he will be his disciple. And so he says, I am the engineer of this. I made it up. I did it. I planned it. I built it. And it cannot fail. Like the bridge. This bridge is built good. Now, one of these days, I would imagine, not everything can go across there, but everything can go where God builds. And that's what he says here, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So what are some of the ways? What is this year going to bring? Imagine, Stacy, there will be other engagements. I hope so. I can see some of you. Some of you are not ready. You might think you are. But I'm going to tell you, If you're thinking along that line, spend time on your knees and turn off your cell phones. Listen to God. Right? Brother Alf, don't feel bad. My kids set me up one time. Remember, honey, the first digital watch I had, I came up to the pulpit here, and I don't remember what time it was. It went off, and I didn't know how to shut it off. It's funny now. It wasn't then. And the one that said it, it wasn't funny then when he got home either. But the point I want to make, beloved, is this. Trust in the Lord. When it comes to marriage, trust in the Lord. When it comes to career, trust in the Lord. It says, all thy ways acknowledge me. Put everything in under the context of God's Word. So when we read it, it becomes power in our lives. Our brothers, when they stood here and when they said, let's pray that the reading of God's Word, the sword, I forgot the acronym, what it represents about daily reading. You cannot beat that. You know, it's more important to know God's Word than anything else, is what it says here. Because it says, lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't be one of those people that says, I am too smart. That's what it says when it means don't be not wise in your own eyes. All of us know people who seem to know everything. You ask any question, they have the last answer. They know, and if you don't believe it, ask them. You know, the most difficult thing to do is to change a person that knows everything. The greatest enemy that you and I might have is when we think we know something. The moment you think you know it, you're in trouble. The moment we think, I've got the answer, and I'm the only one. You know, when I was growing up, some of you have heard me say this maybe. Steve is one of the older people and stuff in the church. And I used to say, when I was 17, I knew everything. 17 and 18. How many of you knew? You know, I knew everything. Boy, was I surprised how much my father learned by the time I got 21. You see, the greatest enemy that I had was myself. I thought I knew it. My dad was old-fashioned. Oh, he had a lot of good qualities. Today I wish he and I could sit down, talk, because I learned a lot. But there were times when I didn't learn anything because I thought I knew it all. Didn't have to learn anything. And some of us, some of you in this audience, I wouldn't be surprised, think you know the answers. You don't have to submit to parents. You don't have to. After all, you're 21 or you're 18 or 19 and the government says you're allowed to vote, even though you don't know who to vote for. See, you and I can choose. We can choose to sin or we can choose to serve. We can God gave us that ability. God gave us that mind. Let me draw a few examples from Scripture that I think are pretty good. When God makes a promise, you don't need to know the answer because you know his promises come from his heart. God's dealing with us because he loves us. He created us. He made us. You know, it's, you know, Brother Eric, I was not surprised at all that your brother Keith looks a lot like you. You resemble each other. Do you know why that is? Because it pleases God to make somebody else like you. To take the two, your parents, and put them together in such a way that no one could figure it out. But somewhere along the line, the DNA come together, and whatever that means, and there it is. You're together. And you look alike. And God says, I love that. And it's great. And that's true of some of you that look like me. That's true of some of you that resemble your parents. Because there's some good things God brought in. And he did that to Abraham. And he made him a promise. And he said, leave your country. Go. And I will make of you a great nation. And there will be all little Abrahams all over the world. And to this day, he is called the father of faith. Because we resemble him when we trust God. We do what he did when he believed God, when God said it. Even that there was no evidence and he had to leave the cities of Ur and go to a country he didn't know where he was going. Didn't know what was going to happen. But God would not let him down. That's trusting the Lord. One of the things that I was reading this week and part of my reading, I do more reading than Arlene does. She's a busy girl. She has a dependent husband, so she, you know, has a lot to do. But I was reading the story of David, and I remember David was invited to a dinner in Saul's court, and he was sitting at the table, and Saul was angry at him. And you know what David did? He sat there. And Saul got so mad at him, he took a javelin or took a spear and he threw it at him. Remember that story? But he missed him. The spear went into the wall. Now, David had a choice. Faith says, I'm going to let God take care of it. But David could have been a Saul and he could have taken that spear and turned around and said, okay, that's how you treat me, watch out. I will not miss you. He didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Because he trusted God. You see, David was promised that he was going to be the king. He was anointed, in fact, already. He had been anointed by by the prophet that came and picked him out. He was the youngest of eight boys in the family. And he was the youngest, the one that was keeping the sheep. And what had happened was, here he is selected because he has a different kind of a heart. He had a heart towards God. He was trusting in God. When he was watching the sheep when he was listening or when he's watching the sheep at night, what would he do? He was playing with a harp. And I wouldn't be surprised he was practicing with his slingshot. Because remember what he did when one big giant came, the 9-foot man? I mean, he knew exactly how to handle a slingshot with smooth stones. That's what our world teaches us, to retaliate. But trusting in God is not that, beloved. Trusting in God says, Lord, Saul is going to miss every time he hurls that thing at me because you take care of me. God will take care of us. And it's God alone who does that. God does not need anybody else's help. He does not need your help or my help. When we lean on our own understanding, it's God alone who says, I will do it. How does it say here? He In all thy ways acknowledge him, that him is God, that him is our Lord Jesus Christ. He will direct your ways. So, 2011, he will direct our ways. Trust in the Lord. That's all it needs. What's going to happen this year? Are you going to be one of those numbered among those that go to heaven? Next year, if they ask me to do it again, will we be able to read your name that you were baptized? That you gave your life to the Lord? That you're a part of that? That you're a part of the family of God? You can answer that. I cannot answer that. One more illustration, then I'm done. The parable of the sower in the scriptures. In Matthew 13, where it talks about the sower, there's an interesting lesson there. Jesus tells the lesson. It says a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed seeds. And it's very obvious because he explains what it means. He says the sower, or the seed, is the word of God. The sower is he who preaches God's word. In that instance, it would have been him, Jesus Christ himself. He preached. He spread the seed. But some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came. Remember that story? Some fell among thorns and got choked. Some fell on real thin areas, and there was not much earth, and it just started to sprout real quick, and first thing the heat came along and dried up. But some fell among good ground, brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. The lesson there is, as it applies to what we did today, is this. God's word is being sown today. Every time we open God's word, ministers, some of you that are asked to on a Sunday afternoon, you're asked, don't talk about high school, talk about God's word. This, we don't have the liberty to talk about ourselves when we're standing in a pulpit. Here it says here, we're help me remember that grace is given me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what we talk about. And when that seed goes out, it is the sower who sows the right seed. There's nothing wrong with the sower. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The wrong comes in with the soil. It's the soil that makes the difference. It's the soil that determines the harvest. And you and I have the responsibility for that soil to be right. My heart has to be right. Has to be open to God's word. And that's what he says here. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy marrow, and strength to thy bones, and all of the things. And we could go on and on. But it says here, and I want to repeat it again, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Love the fact that you can trust. That's what it means when it says, with my heart. I love the Lord. I love him with everything there is. You know, you cannot, especially now that I'm older, there isn't anything equal. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he will be the bridge builder that will build that bridge that you and I need to go across. And you know what bridge that is. When he gave himself at Calvary's cross, when he gave his life, that became the bridge to go across this chasm from this world to the next. May God bless the word. Brenda, okay. And then I'd like to have one of your brothers then conclude with a prayer.